The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome once again to another episode of the Positude Podcast. It's the first one after the new year, and we'd love to welcome you guys on. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you doing tonight?
Doing really well, and so happy to be back doing the show.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's one that I've missed doing, that's for sure.
I've missed you too, buddy. But we'll get our two shows in this month. We're going to do the second and fourth Sunday instead of the first and the third. And then next month, we'll be back on schedule.
Exactly.
All right, let's jump right into Sunny Stories. And the first one that I have for Sunny Stories, it was from a lady named Lacey Duncan, who was a foster care provider. And she got a call late one evening from the Foster Care Emergency Placement Department, stating that there were four girls, sisters, that needed to be taken in, ages five, two-year-old twins, and the other baby was one. And she said she was barely awake, but she said yes. And the next morning when she was fixing the little girl's breakfast, Sophia, who's the oldest, said to her, she asked if she had any daughters and if she could be her daughter. And Lacey said that broke her heart. She became very, very attached to these children. And she told her, well, you know, my name's Lacey. You can call me whatever you want to call me. And she said by the time she dropped her off at school, the oldest, Sophia, was already calling her mom and telling all the kids, that's my mom. So later on, she learned that there was another sibling named Leah who was born one night earlier. And after 9 months, the girls were sent back to be with their birth mother. And Lacey just kept praying and said that she tried to have faith that they would end up where they were supposed to. And she knew in her heart that it was with her. And about a month later, Lacey received another phone call, this time from the birth mother, who called her and asked her if she would take all five children. And she immediately said yes. And then in July of 2013, so this one's kind of older, the adoption process was complete, and the children asked if she was sure if they would be able to stay with her, and she said, yes, you're adopted, you're home forever. And after that, this lady actually had another baby, Cecily, that was born, and she adopted her too. So she's adopted now all six siblings, all six girls.
Wow.
And they're doing very, very well. They're flourishing, doing well in their new environment. And I can't even imagine. I mean, six?
That's a heck of a brood, that's for sure.
Is that not amazing? Just the strength and the courage that she showed and you know, just the heart that she had to take four and then five and then six. It's amazing to me. And, you know, the circumstances surrounding the mother and why she continued to have the children, or at least, you know, the child that she was carrying and not give it up for adoption right away, knowing that the other five were gone to her. I kind of wonder what the circumstances were there surrounding that situation.
Yeah,
but
indeed.
Everybody seems to be doing well and thriving in their new environment. So, yeah, that was that one. And then for positive phenomenon, it's about a lady who was on a Delta Airlines flight 1772 from Atlanta, Georgia to Phoenix, Arizona. And there was a medical emergency on board. An older gentleman was having what appeared to be heart problems and went unconscious. And the lady just talks about how she watched strangers from all over the world and every ethnicity come to the help of this man for over an hour. Whether it be chest compressions, an IV, helping to try and breathe life into him, or praying. She said everybody on the airplane helped. And she listened to shock after shock from the AED machine, and there was still no pulse. But everybody seemed to be hopeful. and she observed people praying and lifting this man up to the Lord in a way that she said she'd never seen before. And she also noted that the crew of Delta was amazing and that they were very fast acting and professional. And then all of a sudden she watched a man walking down the aisle and come to find out that that was Tim Tebow, who is now, I think, a free agent, but he used to play with the Broncos and the Jets. And he was coming up the aisle and met with the family. They cried on his shoulder and he prayed with the whole section of the plane for this man. And she said that he made a stand for God in a difficult situation. So apparently he asked, you know, that this person live and that everything be okay. And then when the plane landed in Phoenix, that was the first time they actually got a pulse back on the man. So so that was kind of a really cool story about faith, I thought, about how whole plane pulled together and the staff and the people on the plane. And then, I mean, Tim Tebow, what are the chances?
Well, and, like, and, you know, regardless
I mean,
of...
I don't know about much about him, but I know that he's noted for being outright with his religious beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? And that's about all I know. I don't know if you know any more about him, but
yeah,
but I thought that was kind of cool.
He's the one that whenever he'd make a play or that kind of thing, he'd kind of get down and do a prayer, thanking and that kind of thing. You know, regardless of,
oh, really?
Of religion involved, prayer really does work. You know, there's no religion that's attached to it. Prayer absolutely works. You know, it's I always liken prayer to meditation or to positive thoughts, you know, that kind of thing. It's all one and the same, right? It's all the same intention that's there inside of you. You're you're making something happen and you're calling to those forces outside to say, hey, you know, we could use a little help here, you know?
So, right.
And it works. It absolutely
yeah.
works. You know, there
yeah.
without any
I mean,
doubt
that
at all.
Really cool.
I've seen
and
a lot
I mean,
of instances.
I fly Delta a lot too. When I tend to fly United or Delta, and you know, I really like them. I think they're great. You know, I think I've never had a bad flight. Honestly, I think they're always been very respectful and funny and, you know, very, very attentive. And I thought that was a very, very good statement for them as well as an airline.
Yeah,
you know?
I wouldn't be able to say either way. I've never flown, not once. Flying is weird. It's something I don't ever plan on doing. So.
Well, I like them. They've always done right by me. So that was just kind of another notch in their belt as far as I'm concerned. And then we go into Furry Heroes. This is about a little dog named Maui, who spent the first 8 months of her life with a backyard breeder trapped in a shed, never seeing the light of day. Aww. When she was finally rescued, she was adopted by a woman who works at a vet clinic, and she was totally terrified of absolutely everything. She had a rough start and was so unsure about everything. Linda Orlowski-Smith, Maui's mom, told the article is from the Dodo site. And she said, luckily, I deal with animals all day through my work and knew not to push her or baby her, but just to do our normal routine and let her stay in her own time. And she was so bad at first that she would projectile vomit if they even tried to use a string on her as a leash. She was so afraid, the poor little baby. Now, Maui's a Lhasa Apso, so she's not a big dog. And 6 months later, her parents adopted a Great Dane named Maple, but they got along instantly. And Maple helped her to come out of her shell, I guess, so to speak. She finds confidence through having a big sibling around. And in order to socialize her and have her overcome her fears, the lady started taking both Maui and Maple to the vet clinic. And so Maui has developed she helps the other animals at the clinic. She walks the halls, greets patients, and every day she has jobs, she said, to do. And she said they love the puppies and the kittens that come in, and that Maui has to be in the same exam room with them, and that she goes through, like, there's a bunny rabbit that goes there to stay, and they made fast friends. She goes in the cage and sits with the rabbit to make the rabbit more comfortable while its parents are on vacation or wherever they are. And she helps patients who are scared or timid. And sometimes she walks them over to the scale and goes into the exam rooms with them. And she wants to be right next to the animals when they're waking up from surgery. For some reason, she's got to be right there when they come out of the anesthesia so that she's there to greet them when they wake up and make them feel safe. And she's bonded with some of the male visitors there. And initially, I guess she had some fear, great fear of male people, probably because one of the people that had her in the beginning, I would think, was a male that mistreated her. But she's bonded with some of the regular males that go there to visit. And she's just been an amazing resource to the vet clinic. And it's amazing to see that, you know, an animal that used to be so terrified of men going on walks, anything, has come so far and is now able to help the other animals feel comfortable at the clinic. I thought that was a really cool story.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I've run across different ones like that where they're like weird situations where the animal ends up becoming a helper animal of some kind, whether it's to like different vet clinics and that kind of thing. Our vet, for instance, here has a cat that's a permanent resident, and she'll even go and keep calm the frightened dogs that come in and that kind of thing. It's really amazing to me.
Aww,
I love seeing
isn't that
it.
Cool.
Yeah, I love seeing it.
So then we jump into, I guess we can do Seeds of Hope. And this one really touched me as well. I didn't post the picture of the girl, but she looks very, very young in the picture. And she writes that she's a single mother of four absolutely beautiful little girls, age 9, 5, 2, and 6 weeks, and that she and her ex split up and things have been particularly rough. And she'd been having some truck issues. She had a flat that she constantly had to put air in. The driver's side window motor had died. She needed a new alternator belt. And she says that the truck was just a mess. And she said she didn't take her little girls anywhere unless they absolutely had to go somewhere. But the other day, she said they desperately needed to go to the grocery store. So she put all of the children in the car and went to the Winn-Dixie. So she must be down south somewhere, which was about 9 blocks away from her home. And she said when we got to the store, it was way after dark and pouring rain. And she put her children and the groceries into the truck and tried to crank it, and nothing would happen. It wouldn't even click. What had happened was one of the little girls had actually left the light on and killed the battery. So the battery was dead. Her phone was disconnected, probably because she couldn't afford to pay the bill. And she mentions that she had no family at all to speak of and was totally on her own after her husband left her. So she got out and opened her hood to make sure her battery hadn't come loose, to try and figure out what was wrong with it, and that wasn't the problem. So she asked about 20 people in the course of 2 hours for a jump. Now, this reminds you of my story a few weeks ago, right, with the car?
Sure does,
nobody
yeah.
would jump her vehicle. She said they all ignored her, not even a no. They just acted like she didn't even exist. So I can totally relate to that situation after what I had gone through a few weeks ago with my car.
Yep.
And she said her 5-year-old was having a meltdown. The newborn was screaming. The 2-year-old was crying and hungry. And the oldest was trying to help. You know, what can a little child do in a situation like that? So she just broke down and started to cry. And she just was totally at her wit's end and started to bawl. And all of a sudden, she got a knock on the passenger window. And an older gentleman, who was 74, she'd come to find out later, with a cane and a bad limp, was on the other side of the window. So she opened the door and he handed her a plate of chicken tenders and biscuits from the deli and some bottles of water. And he said to her, "Feed those babies and yourself, young lady. I have a tow truck on the way and my wife will be here shortly to take y'all home." So sure enough, the wife arrived followed by the tow truck, and she and her truck were taken back to her residence. And the next morning, the gentleman showed up at her house with a mechanic who replaced her battery and alternator and fixed her window. And then the elderly man left and didn't return. So she asked the mechanic what she owed him and if she could make payments. And he just smiled at her and said that the older man had paid for all of it, and that the only payment the older man wanted was for her to never give up and to keep being an amazing mom. And she said she never cried so hard in her life. And things have been absolutely awful. And without knowing her or her situation, this man helped them in ways that he will never know. And she said what he did was revive my faith when I was falling apart, but he wouldn't even take a hug. And she would never be able to thank him. But she certainly hoped that one day she could do for someone else what he did for her. Isn't that awesome?
Well, now you're going to make me cry. now you're going to make me cry. No, I will say if I could afford to do things like that, man, I would be there in a heartbeat. You know, that's exactly why I want to win $1 million. It's just to be able to do stuff like this, you know, just to be able to do stuff like this, because you never know. This is why we say over and over, you know, you never know just what kind of an influence you're going to have on a person. Just even giving them a smile, you never know what kind of a difference it'll make. You know, everybody can afford to do that. Everybody can afford to give a smile to somebody when you're walking through the gas station, or you see them, you know, standing in front of you in line or something like that. You know, just give a smile.
I know. And you know, I mean, it's like the day that my battery died and nobody would let me jump their vehicle because they were afraid I was going to explode their vehicles, or their vehicles were going to blow up because you can't jump a car. It to me is amazing.
Yeah.
But here is a lady with a young girl with after dark with small children, and to just ignore her, to not even try to help her, it makes no sense. But then again, when you turn around on the other hand and see what this wonderful man did, you know, obviously retired on fixed income, you know, for this girl, it's just that to me just is so amazing.
Yep.
So beautiful. So then we have those crazy kids. And this one actually is an old story too, but it's still helping people. And because the holidays just passed, I really wanted to give this organization some recognition, because I feel as though they really need to be organized or recognized a lot more than what they are. And it's the story of two children, Brittany and Robbie Burquist. And I guess the backstory behind it is when they were 3 and 4 years old, they broke into their piggy banks and, with the help of their dad, started organizing a way for troops to be able to call home on the holidays. And so what they did was they developed a company that recycles cell phones, and they get, I think, $5 for each cell phone that's returned to them. And they turn them into cell phone minutes for soldiers so that the families can call home to their loved ones on the holidays. And I guess they started at the age of 13 and 12, they actually started the foundation with their dad that they had initiated, started when they were 3 or 4. Now, I don't know if the dad told them a story and they, you know, broke into their piggy banks to help the soldiers. I'm not really sure of the history of how they started, but at 13 and 12, they started the foundation. And Brittany is now 24. She's graduated from college and works for Kind, you know, those granola bars, Kind Snacks. She works for marketing for them. And Robert just graduated recently as well, and he's interned with General Motors, but they both run CPFS, as well as another nonprofit organization funding veterans experiencing physical, emotional, or assimilation hardships, named Helping Heroes Homes. So this communication gap between those serving our country and their families is a crucial need that CPFS is committed to addressing for years to come, Robbie said in an interview with some local papers. And they recycled more than 11.7 million cell phones since their start, eliminating that waste from landfills. And each cell phone donated turns into a 2.5-hour calling card that is sent to soldiers abroad, with nearly 1,500 calling cards shipped out each week. And they're still doing drives. Their last drive, they collected 100 old cell phones in Cedar City. And they said it doesn't matter how old the phone is, even old flip phones or broken phones, rather, are accepted, and a great way to help recycle and help our nation's protectors. And they'll take anything pretty much that's laying around in your drawer. And so they said their goal this year was to reach 15,000 minutes of talk time. So I just thought that was a very, very cool story. And the website for it is cellphonesforsoldiers.com. So
we have two of them here.
If anybody
has
some old cell phones that they'd like to donate, I know when I read this article, I went through and I actually have like 4 or 5 of them laying around that I'm going to send in, because I thought that was just an amazing.
Yeah, we've got two of them here. I'll be sending them their way. That's for sure.
There you go. So then again, it's cellphonesforsoldiers.com. And so I thought that was very, very cool.
Yeah, we'll have that link on the archive of the show, too, so you guys can go and just click on it if you want to.
There you go.
We make it simple for you guys.
Hey, you want to do dancing and jamming music while we go pee?
Why, we sure can. I can use the bathroom break here. So hang on, folks. We'll be seeing you on the flip side.
Okay is all right with me. Some things are just meant to be. It never comes easily, and when it does, I'm already gone. I'm practically never still.
So there you guys go. That's Eric Hutchinson, and that's really good. I like that song. I've actually never heard that song till now. So again, Maggie has introduced me to somebody new, but this guy, he's known for his songs Rock and Roll, Okay, It's All Right With Me, which is that one, Watching You Watch Him, and Tell the World. He was named an AOL About to Pop Artist, Yahoo Who's Next Artist, MSN's One to Watch Artist, and VH1, You Ought to Know Artist. So rather interesting. He also wrote the theme song for ESPN's Fantasy Focus podcast. Pretty interesting guy. I'm going to have to check into his music some more. I hadn't run across him before.
Yeah, it's kind of poppy. It was different. You know, it was kind of lighthearted. So I figured I'll give it a shot. You know, it was something more modern than what I've been playing and picking. You know me, I'm loving my classic in my 80s. And I did a country last time or the time before. So I thought we'd mix it up a little bit.
Indeed.
But I'm glad you liked him.
Yeah, very interesting. I like it. Normally I'm not too into like the poppy kind of sound, but I do like that one a lot.
Cool. I'm so glad. Let's see, what do we got next here? Well, we can go into Maggie's moments, I guess.
I'm gonna hold who needs holding, mend what needs mending, walk what needs walking, though it means an extra mile. Pray what needs praying, say what needs saying, 'cause we're only here for a little while.
This week I guess I would just give you an update on my little puppy Billy. Now you guys all know the story of how I came back with three puppies from Tennessee, and I adopted out Lily after much chagrin. The backstory behind it, in case you missed the last story, was I came back here from Tennessee with three little puppies that were in a tiny little cage being sold at a flea market. And they were in this little tiny cage covered with poop, covered with fleas. It was horrible to see. And I really didn't have facilities for three babies, but I took as many as I could afford to buy home with me. And I'd had them for a couple of months, and I kept getting the message next door across the way. There are some elderly people. And for about 2 weeks, I was receiving the message to to go ask the people next door if they wanted a puppy. And I ignored it for a couple of weeks, and I didn't do anything about it. And one day my car battery died in the middle of a blizzard, and I went across the street and asked the gentleman if he could jump my car. And the wife answered the door, and I had my other neighbor go with me across the street because I felt uncomfortable just going over there. I don't know them that well. And when she opened the door, right before she opened the door, we heard a dog bark. And I said to the other neighbor, I said, do they have a dog? I didn't think they had an animal. And she says, no, I didn't think they did either. So she opened the door and I said to her, do you have a dog? And she's like, no. And I'm like, just out of my mouth, do you want one? Before I could stop the words, they were going to make sure that I gave that dog away to them, whether I wanted to or not. And so, we talked about it, and they ended up taking her on a trial basis, Lily, which was my favorite, the prettiest one. And they've had her now for a little more than a month, and it's been going very, very well. I went over there to visit her on New Year's Eve, and she is just as happy and as joyful and as playful as can be. She was very, very happy to see him. I was visiting her every week, and then I skipped a couple of weeks because I wanted her to get used to her new environment. And because of the fact that we're so close in proximity, I don't want her to see me and like try and escape and come back home, you know? So it's been really difficult, but I went over there and visited her, and they have adjusted to her so well. She listens very, very well to the dad, the father, and they have grandchildren. And when the grandchildren come over, she's just in ecstasy. They play, they love her to death. And, the house is just like, they have toys everywhere for her, and she's doing very, very well. And they're just, it seems to me as though at least the woman, the gentleman's much quieter, but the lady just seems so much, I think, happier and fulfilled. And when she looks at her and talks to Lily, she just, you can see her swell up with pride, and just, she giggles at her antics, and she just feels so much happier to me now that I know that I made the right decision, and I know that she's doing very well there. But the way that it's fulfilled them, you know, an older couple, I mean, they do have children that live nearby and grandchildren, but I know that the lady was lonely a lot of the time. And you know, I could just feel it, you know, that she's just so much happier now and more fulfilled. It's just, it's a really good feeling. So, it's going really well, you know, and they're both, you know, the folks and Lily are doing very, very well over there. And, I still have my twinges, you know, I still want to go back over there and get her and bring her home, but, but I know that that's not the right thing to do. That's the selfish thing to do. And she's doing so amazingly well over there. It's just, it's great to see. It really is. So that's my Maggie's moments. And,
that is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and something really cool. She showed me. I gave her a Nephilim. Lily's a Nephilim. I went over there, and she's like, she's got two sets of fang teeth. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, yeah, check it out. She opens her mouth, and like, neither set are wiggling. They're both firmly in her mouth. And for each fang tooth, each of the four, she's got a double set.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. I thought that was cool too. but she's doing very, very well over there, and she's flourishing. And like I said, the woman just seems to be so happy with her, and just watching her with Lily and watching the joy on her face as she would jump off and on the sofa and run around. And she just, I could tell it just really completed her, you know? And, even though she has family nearby, to have the dog with her all the time, somebody to keep her company, you know, and play with her. And the husband, like I said, he's really great with her too. He's just quieter, you know, but you can tell that like when I talked about her, his eyes lit up, you know, and you could tell that they really bonded. Like she would sit in front of the floor, in front of him, in front of his easy chair. And when he told her to sit, she'd sit and she'd just look up at him. And, you know, there's a real solid bond forming there. And I think it's really cool. So I'm glad I did what I did.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
more like you're glad. More like you're glad that you got forced into doing what you did behind
your
will.
Yeah, right. They made it happen. It wasn't me. The angels did it. So, let's see. For healing herb this week, I picked elderberry. And I picked elderberry because in my refrigerator, I have elderberry cough syrup made for me by a Native American healer who is just amazing. And last year, as you know, I had pneumonia, and I can't take antibiotics. And the only thing that I believe it saved my life was the elderberry cough syrup that she sold me and a chest rub that she made. And elderberry is a great antioxidant. It's used to lower cholesterol, improve vision, boost the immune system. It improves heart health. It's good for coughs, colds, flu, bacterial and viral infections, tonsillitis. Back in 1995 in Panama, it was used to treat a flu epidemic, actually. And it's been a folk remedy for centuries in North America, Europe, Western Asia,
yeah.
North Africa.
Yep.
Elderberries have been long, long recognized for their health benefits, and especially for the antioxidant activity. And I just, like I said, for me, that stuff's amazing because that cough syrup and the chest rub that she made me are what pulled me out of pneumonia. I mean, I had like 104 fever and I thought I was dying, and the doctor screamed and yelled at me because I wouldn't take an antibiotic, but I've been allergic to every single antibiotic I've ever taken. And I said, nope, I'm doing it my way.
Yeah.
And I went up, drove an hour to see my buddy, and she hooked me up. And I'm telling you, that and pineapple juice were the three things that I used. And my fever broke within 24 hours. And it took me, you know, holistically, it takes a little bit longer to recuperate than it would from a traditional medicine. So it took me, you know, a few weeks longer to get back to full strength. But the benefits in elderberry in that syrup they're amazing.
Elderberry has been used literally hundreds of years in Europe for exactly that. It's been made into syrups and cough medicines. You know, it's great. Every time I think of elderberries, though, I can't help but think of Monty Python. Your father smells of elderberries. <You know? laughs> But no, elderberry is great. It's one of the best herbs out there for doing healing. Now, I wouldn't mind tossing in one thing here real quick, since you mentioned fevers and about breaking fevers. Mm-hmm. Let me toss one out because this is the time of year where people are encountering that kind of thing. One solution that you can do, if you're really needing to bring a fever down is, I know it sounds strange, but you can use apple cider vinegar. And what you do is you take, paper bags, the brown paper bag, and, or if you don't have any brown paper bags, you can just use like a computer paper or something like that. But anyways, you take, that paper, you cut it into some strips and you, submerge it in the apple cider vinegar, get it really nice and wet. Then take that strip and wrap one around each of the wrists, around your ankles, and then place one across your forehead, and it will break the fever. By the time that thing's dried, you might want to do an extra one of it, you know, like so once it's dried a little bit, you know, from the air, then you can do it one more time. But your fever will break. It's weird how it works, but it works almost every time. Guaranteed. I love it. It's an awesome solution.
Apple cider vinegar is another staple in my kitchen.
Yep.
A lot of times in cold weather, I'll heat it up with boiling water and some honey and drink it. And I think it's amazing as a preventative.
It really is, yeah.
You know, to colds and flu. So that's awesome. Thank you, Ira.
Yeah, you bet.
Ira,
I drink
Webby.
The stuff.
That's Webby moment from Ira.
Yep, I drink the stuff just as it is. You know, I love taking a little dose of it every day. And I think that it helps out a lot in promoting your health overall. It also acts as a little bit of an appetite suppressant, too. So if you're trying to diet, you can do a little bit of that because it'll curb the cravings that you have. But anyways,
yep.
Yeah, it's a fantastic yep. thing. I love apple cider vinegar.
And also a relatively inexpensive thing, too.
Yep.
You know, so that's cool, too. I use the Bragg's personally because I feel like that's like the best. But
yeah, if you can
Walmart,
get the vinegar that has the mother in it.
There are other brands. You've got to make sure it's the raw, unfiltered organic. That's
right.
The key.
Yeah,
whatever brand you get, you got to make sure it's raw, unfiltered, organic. And if you go with that, you're not going to go wrong.
The best
no
you can get
is
if it has the mother still in it somewhere.
That's
so,
it. It's got to have the mother in it. Yep, exactly. So the recipe for actually the tincture recipe that I'm going to do is for elderberry cough syrup. And it's good for treating colds and flu. And you can also, you can put it on pancakes, ice cream. You can substitute blueberries. But, you know, for cold and flu season, you want to use the elderberry. But it's great because you can use it as a cough syrup and then also like on ice cream or pancakes as a syrup. So I thought that was really cool. It's versatile. And it calls for 1 cup of fresh elderberries, 3 cups of water, One cinnamon stick, which is optional, but I would throw it in there. I'm going to try this weekend, actually. 3 whole cloves and 1 teaspoon of fresh ginger root. Now, I can't have the ginger root, so I would leave that out. And then a cup of honey. And all you do is you take the elderberries, the water, the cinnamon stick, cloves, and ginger, heat them in a saucepan over medium-high heat, bring it to a boil, reduce it to low, simmer it for 30 minutes, and then you take like a handheld potato masher and mash the berries to release the juice, strain it through a fine sieve. I use cheesecloth. And then you keep the juice and discard the pulp. Let the juice cool. Stir in the honey until thoroughly combined and put it in a lid jar. And it'll stay in the refrigerator for 2 to 3 months. So how much easier can that be? And it's a totally, totally powerful, effective cough syrup. And it's a producer, too. It produces phlegm. It loosens everything to make you cough up and spit up when you have bronchitis.
Which is what's
so
really important.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's the really important part is that expectorant type of ability. You got to get that stuff out.
That definitely was what saved me last year with the pneumonia, was the being able to produce after everything was stuck and clogged in my chest and I could hardly breathe. I was wheezing so badly.
Yeah.
To be able to have a productive cough to get a lot of that junk up out of my system, you know. And that's, of course, what helped me break the fever, too, I'm sure, was getting a lot of that out of my lungs,
you know,
in the first 24 hours.
Yep.
And it was major effective. So I would recommend this to everybody. I love it. So the next thing, let's see, we can go into positive, way cool affirmations in scripture. And this one that I chose was, I kindly asked for help and guidance if I cannot see a better way. That's the affirmation. And as always, you can put those on a post-it note or an index card and put it on your refrigerator or on your car dashboard, or, you know, keep it in a notebook so that you can look at it and work, or even put it in your cell phone as a message. And just say that throughout the day, and it will help you. The scripture that I chose was from the King James Version. It was Matthew 7:7 to 7:11, particularly 7 and 8, but I'll go ahead through the whole scripture just to finish it off. But it's, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then 9, 10, and 11 are, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If thee, and being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to him, or to them that ask him? But primarily the first 2, 7 and 8 are what struck with me and came to mind when I was doing the affirmation, I kindly ask for help and guidance if I cannot see a better way.
It's sort of like the pre-secret secret, isn't it?
Kinda, yeah, isn't it though?
You know, whatever it is that you're looking for, I mean, you're gonna find it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you're truly, honestly seeking.
Uh huh. Now, happiness homework. I don't know where it went to. Oh, there it is. Okay. But happiness homework to me this week came to me because I have amazing neighbors, on the one side of me, and we won't talk about the other side. But the one side of me are really, really cool people. And with me not feeling well and stuff lately, and my snowblower broke, which it just recently got repaired, but it was broken where I couldn't use it. And so my guy next door, my buddy, he came over and he shoveled my stoop and he shoveled my front stoop so that the postman could get through, and he snowblowed my driveway. And what I do is I usually try and cook ahead on the weekends so that when I come home, you know, after a really long day, I just have to take something out of the refrigerator and reheat it. For me, it makes my life easier to be able to prepare meals ahead and either freeze them or stick them in the fridge for later on during the week, especially when it's cold and I know that I have to come back home and maybe potentially brush off my car in the night or shovel or anything like that, you know. And with the hours that I work too, especially, it's just more convenient for me. But what I try and do every time I have a little extra is put aside something for them, and then, you know, I bring it over to them. So I think what I chose this week was, I think, is a cool idea for everybody. If you're just making dinner and you have a little bit of leftovers, just put them in a bowl and bring them to like an elderly neighbor or somebody, you know, in the next couple of houses that's helped you out. Or even, you know, if you know of a homeless person that hangs out nearby, especially in the cold weather, It's been so incredibly cold here. It's been down to 15 to 10 to 3 with the wind chill. You know, if you know of a place where a person hangs out, there are several in town that I see that are usually in pretty much the same areas. Just take whatever you have left over and pack it up and bring it to them. I'm sure that they would appreciate it. And if it's the case of a neighbor, you know, it's just kind of a nice thing to do so that if they were working hard that day or shoveling snow or what have you, you know, to have a meal that's already cooked and ready for them, that's really a nice surprise for anybody. I think I always appreciate it when my friends do it for me, and so I always like to pass it along.
That's a really fantastic idea, especially for like young mothers, for instance, who just don't have any time for anything. You know, to do something like that for somebody that you know that's just, you know, just given birth or has a very young and, you know, they never have time for anything. So, you know, doing something like that would be great, right?
Yeah, well, this time I just happened to make some chicken soup because it was so cold out. And so I brought that over to them. And I think last time it was, I made ham for New Year's. So I brought them over, I think it was ham salad and split pea soup, you know. So, I mean, you know, split pea soup, you make a ton of it, you know, and how many people really eat it? Not many, you know.
Not me.
So I brought some of that and ham salad. And I actually, you know, I can't really eat pork anymore. It kind of makes me sick. So I made it for the family, for people to enjoy it, but I don't really, I'm not able to. So
yeah.
I had that much extra and I just threw it in a couple of containers and brought it over to them. And then they were actually the wife was away. The mom had fallen ill during the holiday and had to have surgery. And so the husband was there by himself. So he didn't have to worry about cooking dinner. It was just like all made for him. He just had to throw it in the microwave. So it's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I do that.
I have a neighbor that loves to bring us cookies and baked goods. She's always baking and she always bakes too much. So she always brings some over for us for the kids and stuff. It's great. I love it.
Give her my address. No, just kidding.
she makes the fantastic stuff too. She's a old school German. She's actually from Germany. Her name's Uta, and she brings over all these really awesome baked goods and cookies and pies and oh my God, it's awesome.
She makes the white things. I love those little white powdered cookies with the nuts in them.
Yep.
Italians make something similar, but oh yeah, next to Italians, German people make really good cookies.
Yes,
they really do. So, oh, you're so lucky. So you know my address. You can just pass it along.
Indeed.
I'll trade with her. I'll send her some Italian stuff if she sends me some German stuff. I want those little, what are those things called anyway? Those little white powder.
I always called them wedding cakes. You know, like the little wedding cooks. Yeah.
That's Russian, though, isn't it? The Russian tea cakes.
I think so. Yeah, but they're kind of like all based in the same. So,
but Germans make them too. I know.
Yeah, Germans use a little bit of like cinnamon in it, and I think the Russians use a little bit of ginger in it. That's what makes them different.
Different. Either way, they're good.
Yeah, I love them.
So I guess we'll do things my dad says. So things my dad says, this time wasn't really a quote from my dad, but it was something that going back to childhood was something that he always had on hand. And I don't care what you do, as it must be a guy thing, but duct tape and bungee cords are like the two staples that every guy has.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go. Well, I got to thinking, we were talking about bungee cords the other day or this morning, maybe even. And, I got to think about when I was a kid and my dad, and he always had them in the house, in the truck, in the garage, in the shop, just everywhere. There was always a plentitude of bungee cords, and he used them for everything. So I thought, those are really something that I need to have in my home. And so I grew up, and I always have a stash of them put aside, too, and duct tape, P.S. But they can be used for just about anything, and they're amazing. I mean, not just for tie downs on a vehicle, you know, or to tie down a tarp if you're carrying wood, or, you know, just if, you know, on the back of a flatbed if you get the really long ones, you know, a truck bed, an open bed, to tie across. But to tie your snowblower cover over in a windy day, like we live in, like it's amazing winds here, and just to be able to stretch them over your snowblower cover or your grill cover. But some of the other uses are, I Googled this, and you can use them as a curtain panel holder. So if you're too cheap to buy a curtain rod, or you want a curtain rod that goes all the way across, like, say, my back patio door, you can just buy a really long one or a couple of them that hook together and thread the curtain through it and just hook one end to each end of the rod, you know, the piece that comes out of the wall. So that's not the rod, it's the hook. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But I've actually seen that done before at my girlfriend's houses, and they've decorated it with the curtain hanging over it. You can't tell that it's a bungee cord. You know what I mean? But it's such a more reasonable option than buying, like, let's say, an 8-foot or 10-foot cafe rod, you know? So the other thing that I thought was cool about it is you can take them and put hooks in, like, your garage ceiling to floor, or, like, you know, along the bottom of your garage, you can, like, nail a plank of wood and put a hook. And you can take, like, 8 or 10 of them and just top to bottom stretch the cords. And you can use them as, like, a ball holder. If you've got a bunch of kids that play sports, you know, volleyballs, basketballs, all of them, you can just put them behind the row of the bungee cords, and it'll hold them all in place. And you just, the kids pull them out as they want them, and then just stuff them back behind the cords when they're done, and it holds them in place up against the wall. So they're not, like, all over the garage floor, all over the basement floor, out in the yard. They're all in one place, but they're contained, but they don't take up a lot of room because they're right up against the wall. Isn't that cool?
That's an awesome idea, definitely.
Holding down your garbage pail lid, which here where we live, the winds are just, like, incredible.
Yeah.
So there, that's an awesome thing to do, is to tie it to the lid of your garbage pail so that your lid doesn't escape. Because constantly, my guys anyway, they take the pails and they throw them down the curb, and inevitably the tops are, like, three doors down at the neighbor's or across the street, and I've got to go fish for the lid. So I thought that was a really cool idea too, is you attach it to the pail and it's not going to get lost on you. Old tote bags, you can attach them to old tote bags when your tote bag handles are getting kind of ratty. And they're very, very strong, and they're elastic, so they stretch. So that was another use for them. To keep them, if you keep them and you take one and hook it around the headrest of your car, you can use the hooks to hold bags so that your bags stay off of the floor, like a purse or your briefcase or even the reusable shopping bags that, you know, a lot of people go to, like, an Aldi's where you need the shopping bags to go because it's a pack your own store. Those hooks, if you just put it around the top of your headrest and leave the hooks hanging down, you can hang a whole bunch of stuff off of there. So I thought that was another cool use.
Sure is.
Secure your ironing board cover. They put emergency suspenders. Now, I mean, you'd have to be pretty redneck to use them as suspenders. I can't say honestly that I thought that was a good use for them. but it was listed as a use for suspenders.
I have used them.
For bungee cords.
I have used them as a belt. I will say that.
I've done them for this before. Your tablecloth outside, like if it's summertime and we're Italian, so red and white check tablecloth sits on my picnic table outside. And when the wind blows, you know, you can buy those fancy clips that hold the tablecloths on. Well, inevitably, those get taken off. Either the kids would play with them, or they'd get lost, or the dogs would pull them off. You can use those to wrap around your picnic table or your outdoor table to keep your tablecloth on in high winds. And I've done that before. That works well.
It does, yeah.
And there are a couple other uses, but that gives you an idea. But anyway, so my dad says always keep bungee cords on hand. So that was my dad moment. my dad says.
I have about 20 of them in my utility room, along with about 4 rolls of duct tape. So
duct tape, right? Oh, and crazy glue. That's another one.
Yep.
Gotta have the crazy glue.
They're the essentials.
My dad, when he listens to this, he's probably going to shoot me, but I don't care. And he does listen.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Ira says, hi, Dad. So there you go. You want to go into Comedy Corner, and then we'll jump into meditation?
Sure.
How much time have we got left?
I was just about ready to say we've got about 10 minutes at this point. So.
Okay, so we'll make it a quick meditation. Go ahead into the comedy, we'll have people laugh, and then we'll put them to sleep.
All righty, sounds good. Here you guys go.
God, is it nice to be here? I'm dealing with a possum problem at the house. Just moved into a new house. Me and my wife, we like to go in the yard at night, have a little wine, and these possums are comfortable. Like if they could talk, they'd be like, what the hell are you doing here? Now, growing up, I grew up in an immigrant family, and how we handled possums, raccoons, my father would be like, we're going to murder the bastard. We're going to pour antifreeze on bologna.
What?
Woke up in the morning, birds, squirrels, raccoons just murdered all over our property. Neighbors coming by, have you seen our cat? Nah, we haven't seen it. Check the yard. But my wife, she didn't grow up this way. We got to call the possum police. It's a humane service. They come over, $150 traps. Guy tells me it's $35 extra for the bait. I said, what are you using? He's like, peanut butter. $35 for peanut butter? I got $1.23 Jiffy inside. What kind of... Then he tells me it's $75 per possum that he removes. I said, where are you taking the possums? He's like, I drive them 30 miles away. I let them go in Malibu. Now, I don't believe a word this guy's telling me. I think he goes down the block, lets it out. He's making $75 on the same possum. So I say, you think I'm dumb? Think I'm dumb? First one we catch, I spray paint it. I'm tagging the possum. The guy came over, he's like, I've never seen a blue one before. I said, yeah, and if I see it again, we're gonna have a problem. Now take the thing to Malibu. But I don't know if you people have ever had like a trap in your yard, but it brings an excitement to the house. Every few hours, me and my wife were going to the window. We catch anything out there? One morning we caught a squirrel. The guy told me this would happen. Squirrel could get in there. He's like, if it does, just let it go. So I went to go take the squirrel out, right? Something was wrong with the squirrel. I don't know what was going on. Foaming at the mouth. And I go, I'm not letting this out. My luck, I let it out. This thing's all over me. I'm not fighting a squirrel on a Tuesday morning at 7:30. So I give my wife a 20. And I tell her, go across the street. There's a Mexican gardener across the street. Mexicans, they're not as scared of anything. They'll come over with their bare hands, get it out, and throw it down the sidewalk. So 10 minutes goes by, she calls me from the driveway. She's got three Mexican gardeners with her. I call her, come here. I said, the whole reason for you to go do this was to act like you were home alone and you didn't want to let the squirrel out. Now I got to look three grown men in the eye. The squirrel's back here. We're kind of scared. It's foaming at the mouth. Could you do it? You guys have been great. Happy holidays.
I'll tell you what, man, I love that guy. He's definitely become one of my favorite comedians for sure. I love him.
Isn't he awesome? I love Sal. He's the best.
He's fantastic.
So if you want to go ahead and we'll start the music for meditation, we'll get going.
It is on.
Okay, if everybody could just relax and take some deep breaths, lean back on the sofa. Put your feet up. and breathe. Relax and breathe deeply. As you're breathing this week, I'd like for you to visualize on colors. We'll do a color therapy meditation. Breathe. Your head relaxes. Your face. As you continue to breathe, relax your neck. I want you to visualize the color red, bright and vibrant, fiery. In your mind's eye, just picture the color red. Breathing deeply through your neck, into your shoulders, down your arms. Breathing gently and slowly, relaxing into your chair or your sofa. Just breathe in the color red. As you exhale, exhale red. Continually breathing, relaxing, knowing that you're totally safe and protected. Totally relaxing into your cushion, your chair, your sofa, down through your hands, into your fingers, wrists, totally relaxed. With the next breath, breathe in the color yellow. Feel the yellow breathe in through your chest, your lungs, all of your vital organs, down through your abdomen. Breathe out yellow. As you sink deeper and deeper, totally relaxed, totally at peace, yellow. Next, as you breathe in, focus on the color orange. Breathe orange in, the color vibrant, beautiful, and breathe out, relaxing, knowing that you're totally safe and protected. Orange, in and out. As you relax down through your middle and through your waistline, through your pelvic area, to the top of your hips, green. Breathe in the color green and out. Breathe in green on the exhale and out on the exhale. Several calming breaths, relaxing more and more, sinking deeper and deeper into your chair or your sofa or your bed. Going down through the tops of your thighs, as you breathe in, breathe blue. Breathe in blue, breathe out blue. Deep calming breaths, relaxing, totally safe and protected, at peace. Breathing in and out the color blue. Relaxing down into your knees, into your calves. Breathe in the color indigo. Indigo in, and the color indigo out. Totally relaxing, at peace, knowing that you're safe, protected. Relax to the point of almost sleep. Your entire upper body, middle body, and most of your lower body are fully relaxed as you breathe in and out the color indigo. And then finally, as you move down into your ankles and your feet, the color violet. Violet in and violet out. Color violet in and breathe it out. Totally relaxed, totally at peace. Your body is almost to the point of sleep. Breathe in and out all the colors of the rainbow, the healing colors. Breathe in red and out red. In orange and out orange. In yellow and out yellow. In green and out green. In blue and out blue. In indigo and out indigo. And finally, violet. Breathe in and breathe out. The color of violet will surround your entire body and fill your entire body. Totally peaceful, relaxed, safe and protected, knowing that you're cupped in the hands of angels. Just breathe slowly in and out the color violet. Many say violet is the color of healing. Picture all cells in your body becoming fully repaired, restored, the old ones dying off, the new cells regenerating, totally at peace, protected and safe. The body is being healed and regenerated as you breathe in and out the color violet. As we breathe now, we'll start to come out of our little meditation. Wiggle your toes. And as you come out, continue to breathe the color violet. Your feet up through your ankles, your calves, the color travels through your knees. As you breathe up through your thighs, your hips, your pelvic area, breathing, relaxed, at peace, starting to wake up through your lower stomach, your abdomen, your chest, breathing up through your shoulders, down through your arms, elbows, lower arms, breathing through your wrists and hands. Wiggle your fingers. You're filled with the color violet. As you breathe up into your neck, your chin, your facial muscles, your face, ears, head, your scalp, your hair, you feel totally relaxed and refreshed. Your body feels healed and rejuvenated, rested, but at peace, protected and safe. And you're ready to continue on with your evening. Thank you, Ira. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you so much, Maggie, for everything that you do. It's always great to do this show with you and everybody out there. I hope that you have a wonderful wonderful week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Ira. Love you, buddy. Bye.